This evening we invite you back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin with verse number 31 tonight, and we're going to read down through verse 34. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse number 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. In the passage which is before us here tonight, we have Jesus predicting his suffering and his death unto that of his disciples, along with that of his resurrection. This is not the first time that Jesus has foretold of that of his death. He has told of his death several times already up to this point. In Luke chapter 9 and in verses 21 through 22, we read, And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And then in Luke chapter 9, verses 43 through 45, it says, And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. And then, of course, in the passage that we just read, we have the prediction of his death and resurrection. Now, these are not the only times that our Lord spoke of that of his death, but these are the three major passages that we have in the Gospel of Luke. We also have three major passages in that of Mark and also in that of Matthew where that Jesus gives similar content as far as that of his death. But as we said, there are other times that our Lord did speak of that of his death. In Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and 15, it says, And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then in Mark chapter 9, and verse 9, it says, And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why saith the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias very verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. So those are a couple other additional places where our Lord speaks of his death, one time being at the Passover when he is sitting with his disciples, that particular time being, of course, when he institutes the Lord's Supper after they have finished the Passover Supper. And then in Mark chapter 9, background to that passage is our Lord and Peter, James, and John. They're coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They've seen Jesus in all of his glory. He's heard, they've heard the Father speak, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And It was there that Jesus spoke of that of his death. There on the Mount, even mention was made of that of his coming death. So the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke of it upon various occasions. My subject tonight is Jesus foretells that of his death and his resurrection. And the first thing that I'd like for us to do as we look at that of the passage before us at hand here in Luke is to kind of get the context of that of our text here, first of all. Now, if you were here this morning, I made mention of the various events leading up to the account that we covered this morning, which was that of the healing of the blind man. There was the rich young ruler. There was the amazement of the disciples who asked the question, who then can be saved? And then there was the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, Jesus foretelling to his disciples his death, and Jesus rebukes the selfish ambition of James and John. Now, it's important for us to kind of have an idea of where our passage or our text is found in relationship to other events. And especially as we consider the passage which is here before us tonight, our Lord has just dealt with that of the rich young ruler. He's dealt with the question, who then can be saved? And he's given the parable of the laborers, and then he then tells his disciples about that of his death. But what is interesting from the book of Matthew, it seems that the next event that is, we did mention, that of the selfish ambition of James and John, that this was going on at the same time as our Lord and the disciples are traveling to Jerusalem and he begins to tell them of that of his death. This selfishness amongst that of the disciples. They're concerned about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to sit at the right and the left hand of the Lord in the kingdom. All along the Lord, he is facing that of Jericho and then Jerusalem and that of course, that of his death. And he begins to tell them about this. So that's the setting that we see here in that of our passage. And as I said, the Lord and the disciples, they're traveling to Jerusalem. This is the last time that they're going to be traveling this way, the Lord especially, because as he heads for Jericho and enters into Jerusalem, then of course we know what is going to take place. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, if you'll turn there with us, Mark chapter 10, and in verse 32 and 33, it says, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. You know, it says, and they were in the way. In other words, they were traveling. They were headed towards that of Jericho and then, of course, to that of Jerusalem. Here it says they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. Now, the idea that I understand here in the passage is that Jesus, he went way ahead of the disciples. And it was with determination he was going down that of the road. And of course, this was all in light of that of what was coming to pass, what was about to take place as they would enter into that of Jerusalem. And as they're traveling this way, his determination to get to Jerusalem as quickly as possible because he's got a work to do and everything, he begins to tell his disciples about that of his death. Now he's already told them several times. He's already told them several times. Now that's where our passage over here in Luke picks up. Here in Luke chapter 18 and in verse 31, it says, "Then he took unto them his 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." So this is the context to that of our passage. Now next, having considered the context, I want us to now take note of that of what the Lord tells us here. Now, as we read those different passages in Luke, the three main passages especially, if you noted, there were different things that our Lord said in those passages. Different things that would take place with regards to that of his suffering and death. The Lord here in that of our passage, he tells us of that of his suffering and death, that of his resurrection here. He says, "Behold." Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Behold, Jesus here, he uses that of a word to get the attention of the disciples. He wants them to pay attention to that of what he's saying unto them. What is it that he tells them? Well, it says here in that of our passage that he said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." We're headed to Jerusalem. And the idea here is he's saying to his disciples, "Guys, get ready. Things are going to begin to take place." He says, the things that are written by the prophets. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now, we would stop here and we would ask the question, what are those things that the prophets spoke of? What are those things that the prophets spoke of? Well, there are passages that are very familiar, probably most likely to all of us. In Isaiah chapter 53, we have the prophet Isaiah. And in verse number 1, he asks several questions. He says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He is no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed." You note how the prophet speaks here. He speaks in a way as if that what he is speaking of has already taken place. And yet, we know it hasn't taken place because Isaiah prophesies approximately 700 years before that of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the prophet Isaiah, even though he is speaking here, and he is speaking in a manner as if the events that he's speaking of have already passed, beloved, they haven't yet. But Isaiah is here in this prophecy telling us, telling those to whom Isaiah was speaking to, these are the things that are going to take place with this one. And, of course, this one that is spoken of, we know who he is without a shadow of a doubt. It's none other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied of that of his life, that of his raising up here upon the earth, and then, of course, that of him being taken and him suffering, being wounded for that of our transgressions. Now, over in Acts chapter 9, if you'll turn there with us, Acts chapter 9. Or actually, Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 22, we have Peter, the day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did to him by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now this, of course, is after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on the day of Pentecost, and Peter is standing up along with the other apostles, and they're proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ of Nazareth being the Savior. And you'll note that he tells us in those words that it was all according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that wicked men should take him and that he should be crucified. Isaiah spoke of it, and now we have Peter and the apostles speaking of it afterwards. As we go back to that of our text here in Luke chapter 18. "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things are written to or by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." It was all according to that of God's plan. Jesus knew that he had come into the world, and he'd come into the world with that of a purpose. And that purpose was to give that of his life as a ransom for many. John chapter 17, you turn there with us, we see that Jesus knew this very clearly. John chapter 17. And in verse number 1, we read these words. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus came to earth, and he came with that of a goal, a purpose in mind. That purpose was to give his life as a ransom, to give his life as a substitute for sinners, to pay the sin debt for all who would believe upon him. So as we look back over in that of our passage here in Luke chapter 18, we have the prophets. And there's more in the prophets. We just drew your attention to that of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 50, and I believe it's verse number 6, which we'll take note of in just a moment, speaks of how that he gave his back to that of the smiters. In verse 32 of our passage here, it says, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted upon." In Luke chapter 22:63-65, it says, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." These things were prophesied by the prophets. Here we have Jesus himself telling the disciples those things that the prophets prophesied, they're about to come to pass. Behold, we go to Jerusalem. Isaiah 56, which we made mention of, says, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." He was put to death. He was put to death. The Jews and the Gentiles involved and sharing in the guilt of this awful deed. They executed him. From that of their standpoint, they put him to death. But of course, we know from that of his viewpoint and God the Father's viewpoint, he came, and he came willingly. Willingly, and offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. The Passover that he had, that he partook of with his disciples, the very last supper there with the disciples, he instituted the Lord's Supper, the Lamb. It was all the way back to that of Exodus. The Lamb slain, the blood put upon the doorpost. Go back even a little bit further, even to that of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham offering Isaac upon that of the altar. There, in both places, we have that of the picture of what Jesus would do. He would voluntarily give of his self, his blood shed, and his blood applied. Peter wrote, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I have another passage in my notes. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 18, Peter writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, appointed before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In that of the third chapter of that same book, Peter writes in verse 18, "For Christ also has once suffered from the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Yes, he was put to death. Yes, he died. He died paying the sin debt. But the glorious part of the account in verse 33 of our passage, it says, "And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise." He shall rise. Yes. Death could not hold him. He arose from the grave triumphantly. And because he arose, beloved, we have hope. We have a sure hope. That sure hope is in heaven today, at the right hand of the Father. Over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, if you turn there. This is the last passage that we'll take a look at tonight. Luke chapter 24. Our Lord and Savior, he progressively prepared his disciples for what was going to take place. They didn't understand it all. Just like, you know, as we are today, we don't understand. Understand everything either as we look out into the future. We can see certain things, but there are some things that are not as clear as others. The disciples, their view of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, was that he would come and he would set up a kingdom here upon the earth. Their view was that of an earthly view. But our Lord progressively told them of that of his death. How that his first coming was one where he would suffer and he would die and rise from the dead. That he wouldn't set up a kingdom, a physical kingdom here upon the earth. In Luke chapter 24 and in verse 36, it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen the Spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." If you noted in our passage, there in Luke chapter 18, in verse 34, it says, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Our Lord spoke these words, and He opened up that of their eyes progressively. Progressively until that of the end, when He then opened up all the scriptures unto them, that they might be able to see. Beloved, as we look here in these verses, we see our Savior, His suffering, His death, His resurrection. And He did that for us.
Amen.
What grace, what love, and what mercy we have here before us.
Amen.
May we praise Him. All right, let us stand and we'll have a closing hymn.
Said to come to this earth to die for us. How about we could do but to praise Thee, to thank Thee, Lord, as we think of what You went through, Lord, on our behalf. We praise You, thank You for being our wonderful Savior, our wonderful High Priest that ever make intercession for us. How about we could do but to praise You, thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful love to us. We know that we're not deserving. We praise You and thankful, Lord, that You willingly came here to lay Your life for us. Thank You, Lord, for including us Gentiles as well. Praising You and thanking You that You would have given eternal life to all. We praise You and thank You, Lord, that You've given, Lord, this wonderful gospel call to all mankind. We praise You and ask, Lord, Your blessing be poured out upon the gospel, Lord, as it's still in dire needs and times, especially like these days. We pray richest blessings upon Your dear servants. Every word through word, lift them up in prayer. Pray that You bless them in this strength. Help us all, Lord, in our weakness as we pray. We look to Thee for all things. Once again, we go to the doubt. For the mind, we are the branches. We ask, Lord, for strength. Lord, thank You for the day. Thank You for the word that we heard. Pray, Lord, that You might, grow in grace. Help us, Lord, that we might be zealous and want to share the gospel with others. Help us, Lord, to be wise about using our time. Lord, we pray that You give us. Ask that once again You bless the day. Thank You for the blessings of the day. Pray, Father, for and thankful that Carl, that You blessed him back on his feet again. Thank You for being his friend. Lord, thank You for the boy of him. Pray, Lord, Your blessings again on them as they travel to the Philippines. Pray, Lord, to give them strength, guide them, lead them. Lord, that we pray. Ask now that You go with us now, Lord. We praise You for the day, and we give You thanksgiving for all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. May the Lord bless you.